Let's turn in the scriptures to Numbers and chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32. And we'll read the entire chapter, verses 1 through 42. Numbers 32 will begin hearing God's word in verse 1. These are the words of God. They are fully authoritative for our lives, so let's give our attention to them here. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of livestock, and when they saw the land of Jazer, in the land of Gilead, that indeed the region was a place for livestock, the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spoke to Moses, to Eleazar the priest and the leaders of the congregation, saying, Ataroth, Dibon, Jazer, Nimrah, Heshbon, Elealeh, Shebam, Nebo, and Baon, the country which the Lord defeated before the congregation of Israel, is a land for livestock, and your servants have livestock. Therefore they said, if we have found favor in your sight, let this land be given to your servants as a possession. Do not take us over the Jordan. And Moses said to the children of Gad, to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war while you sit here? Now why will you discourage the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord has given them? Thus your fathers did when I sent them away from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up to the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel so that they did not go into the land which the Lord had given them. So the Lord's anger was aroused on that day, and he swore on an oath, saying, surely none of the men who came up from Egypt from 20 years old and above shall see the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and the Kenizzite, and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. So the Lord's anger was aroused against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was gone. And look, you have risen in your father's place, a brood of sinful men, to increase still more the fierce anger of the Lord against Israel. For if you turn away from following him, he will once again leave them in the wilderness, and you will destroy all these people. Then they came near to him and said, we shall build sheepfolds here for our livestock and cities for our little ones, but we ourselves will be armed, ready to go before the children of Israel until we have brought them to their place, and our little ones will dwell in the fortified cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return to our homes until every one of the children of Israel has received his inheritance, for we will not inherit with them on the other side of the Jordan and beyond, because our inheritance has fallen to us on this eastern side of the Jordan. Then Moses said to them, if you do this thing, if you arm yourselves before the Lord for the war, and all your armed men cross over the Jordan before the Lord, and so he has driven out his enemies from before him, and the land is subdued before the Lord, then afterward you may return and be blameless before the Lord and before Israel. And this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if you do not do so, then take note, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Build cities for your little ones and folds for your sheep, and do what has proceeded out of your mouth. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben spoke to Moses, saying, your servants will do as my Lord commands. Our little ones, our wives, our flocks, all our livestock will be there in the cities of Gilead, but your servants will cross over, every man armed for war, before the Lord to battle, just as my Lord says. So Moses gave command concerning them to Eleazar the priest, to Joshua the son of Nun, and to the chief fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And Moses said to them, if the children of Gad and the children of Reuben cross over the Jordan with you, every man armed for battle before the Lord, and the land is subdued before you, then you shall give them the land of Gilead as a possession. But if they do not cross over armed with you, they shall have possessions among you in the land of Canaan. Then the children of Gad and the children of Reuben answered, saying, as the Lord has said to your servants, so we will do. We will cross over armed before the Lord into the land of Canaan before the but the possession of our inheritance shall remain with us on this side of the Jordan. So Moses gave to the children of Gad, to the children of Reuben, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, the land with its cities within the borders, the cities of the surrounding country. And the children of Gad built Dibon and Ataroth and Aror, Atroth and Shophan and Jazer and Jogbaha, Beth Nimrah and Beth Haran, fortified cities and folds for sheep. And the children of Reuben built Heshbon, Elaleh, and Kerjarim, Jathaim, Nebo and Baal Mon, their names being changed, and Shibma, and they gave other names to the cities which they built. And the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, went to Gilead and took it, and dispossessed the Amorites who were in it. So Moses gave Gilead to Machir, the son of Manasseh, and he dwelt in it. Also Jair, the son of Manasseh, went and took its small towns and called them Havoth Jair. Then Noba went and took Kenneth and its villages, and he called it Noba after his own name. And those are the words of the Lord. So last Lord's Day, remember, there was the war that the Lord commanded Israel to make with Midian, and they defeated them, and now they have that land. Now the tribes of Reuben and Gad, and what we learn at the end of the passage, the half-tribe of Manasseh, they make this request for their inheritance on the east side of the Jordan. Their land portions on the east side that they were now encamped in after they had defeated Midian. And so through verse 5, they asked to stay there and inherit that. That would be their land. Through verse 15, then you see Moses' response to their request. After their stating they did not want to go over the Jordan into the west side of the Jordan River and inherit there. And remember that the many peoples needed to be destroyed in the land of Canaan, and how the Lord promised that his people would dwell in the promised land, which was on the west side of the Jordan, in the land of Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey. And so as they are going to go to war with these people and be destroyed, Moses seems pretty upset that Gad and Reuben and the half-tribe of Manasseh would not go over and help them war against and destroy these other people groups in Canaan. And then through verse 19, the two tribes respond to this. They promise to go to war on their with the rest of Israel and before the rest of Israel, so that they could have the land they wanted. They offered to go in the front of the battle, and so they would go before the rest of Israel as to conquer all the peoples in the promised land. And only after each tribe had their inheritance, then they would finally receive their inheritance, if they would be granted that inheritance they're asking for. That's what they promised to do. And the rest of the chapter then is Moses granting their petition if they're faithful to the word and the promise they've made. And in Joshua chapter 4, when they have gone into the land, it says this in verses 12 to 13 of Joshua 4. And the men of Reuben, the men of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses had spoken to them. About 40,000 prepared for war crossed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. And so they were true to their word, and they kept their promise. And today we live in a time where people don't keep their word, generally speaking. They're dishonest. Just as we're learning about our building and the people who the deacons are working with to have it fixed, they're lying and they're making promises that are not coming about at the right time, and they're not apologizing for those things. And so the question for us as God's people, are you a man, a woman, or a child of the truth who keeps their promises? We ought to be those who keep our word without excuse, no matter the consequences, and so be blessed by the Lord. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we give you praise today that you're the God of truth, that you're the God who speaks your word, and we hear it with our ears, and we receive it in our hearts by your Holy Spirit alone. Father, we ask that you would do so this day, and you would give us ears to hear and hearts to receive, that you would do your great work of salvation in us, both justification and sanctification. Father, we have sinned against you. We have often not looked to the interests of the rest of the church when we've been focused on ourselves alone. And Father, we ask that you would help us and encourage us to serve the church, to see the need that we have, even as a congregation and as a church, the broader church, the bride of Christ. We pray that we would be faithful to love you. And Father, we ask that you would turn us from our sin, that you would turn us from the ways we've traveled this week in our minds and our hearts and our actions and our thoughts and our words. And Father, we ask that you would turn us from that sin and turn us unto you, the only living and true God who will forgive sins of those who are your children. And so, Father, we ask that you would bless your children and you would help us and encourage us in Christ Jesus, your Son. Father, we're thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, who died on the cross for our sins so that we would be blessed eternally as we follow after him even now in this day. So we ask that you would help us to take up our cross and follow after him. That lesson we've learned in Romans 8, that to proclaim the gospel, to evangelize, be bold with our faith, and that suffering might come through that. Father, we ask that you would preserve us in our hearts, especially preserve us in our bodies if that's your will. We know in the end that you will exalt us and you will glorify us in your Son, Jesus Christ, in union with him. Father, we pray for our bodies. We know that we struggle in our bodies at times. We pray this morning for Dina, who's not feeling well at all, that you would strengthen her body. We pray that for others who may not be able to come today because they're sick, that you would heal their bodies. We ask that you would be with those who are traveling, the Nichols family and Dave and Patty Main. And then we pray also for my family this coming week and the coming weeks after that. We pray for any who are traveling, Father, that you would give them safety. We even pray for the Watson family who's traveling today. You would give them safety. Father, we ask that you would watch over your people. We pray next Lord's Day and the Lord's Day after that, those who will come and fill the pulpit here, we ask that you would be with Jeff and Andrew and John, that you would grant to them your word and boldness to preach the gospel faithfully and your word faithfully, with no fear of man, but only fear of you. And Father, may you work a good work in the hearts of those who hear them, that you would give them hearts knowing that they're hearing you and your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you would make us, by your Holy Spirit, sanctify us to be men and women and children of your word, but also to keep your promises, to love the truth, and to hate lying. Father, we ask that we would not be slanderers or gossips, nor would we scheme or try to get out of promises that we make. But Father, we ask that we be faithful, as you are faithful in all that you are and all that you do. Father, help us now as we continue worshiping you, for we pray in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our King and head of the church. Amen.
Amen.